Hello, this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming. And we have with us Gabriel Guerrero. Hello, Gabriel.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. We're in sunny Florida. Things couldn't be any better right now.
Great, yeah.
So, Gabriel, why don't you tell us a little bit about, first of all, where you're from and what you have going on down there?
Okay, I'm from Mexico. I was born in Mexico City, and I lived there for a long time until I decided I wanted a much nicer place to live. And we have an institute down there. We do programs all over the country and all over South America, teaching different NLP programs, basically, practitioners, master practitioners mostly.
Okay, and the name of your institute?
The name of the institute is Neuroing, which is actually even a funny story. It was supposed to be in Spanish, like neuroengineering, but the first time I actually got an email, it only had a certain number of characters, so I had to cut it. And it turned out to be Neuroing, and John, first time he said it, oh, that sounds great. It's just like making a neuro into a verb and just adding the ing, and I thought, oh, why don't we keep it that way?
That's great. So what was your first experience with NLP? How did you discover it?
It was, as many other people will say, it was an accident. Back in 1990, I was finishing high school, and I was playing tennis at the time, and I was going into the professional tour, and I wanted to become a much better tennis player. So I hired someone who was working with the best tennis players in Mexico and among other athletes. And one of the techniques that he used was NLP, and so I got interested. He recommended me to read a few books, basically one from Richard Bandler and one from Tony Robbins. And from that point on, in 1990, I started getting more and more interested in it.
And what was the first time you trained actually with Richard?
It was actually 8 years after that. It was 1998. Back then, I started my first PRAC program, I probably did like in 93 or something in Mexico. And I had always this interest of learning from the best and going to the source. And back then, I had no idea who the source was, except that there was his name, Bandler Grinder. So I applied for a program with John Grinder. I was not accepted. I'm not saying anything else about that, but it was something was protecting me or something. And so I ended up finding out about a program in LA in 1998. I actually found out of the programs in Minnesota in 97, but just like a day before they started, so I couldn't apply for those. So the first year I met Richard was 1998. And it totally changed my world in many ways, because up to that point I have learned about NLP for 8 years, and everything was a lot of theory involved. I won't mention any names, but I had a lot of extensive training before that with Robert Dills and other people. Oops. And so I had many theoretical backgrounds for many things, but there was something, even though I was liking it a lot and I was getting results with myself and other people, there were still two things that I was not able to accomplish. I was terrified. All my life I was terrified of two things. First of all was public speaking. I would ditch school if I had to talk in front of three or four people, even if not even the whole class. And the other thing that I was terrified of was women. And I'm still am, but just once a month, and I know I understand why it is. And so when I met Richard, and just after 3 weeks of a master practitioner and trainer's training, I got back home, and I not only was not afraid of public speaking, but I loved it. And I actually got my first real girlfriend. And I'm talking, I was 27. It was just like the big thing for me. So I thought, this works. This is what I like.
The piece you were missing.
Yeah, it was funny because when I decided to go to Richard was because I bought some some tapes back then of a DHE program, and I've been practicing meditation for 7 or 8 years at that point. Up to that point I had never accomplished silence in my head. And I was just listening to Richard, and I just realized that I had been quiet inside my head for 45 minutes, and I went, wow. Of course, I then went like, oops.
That was it.
Just lost it. But it was the first time after 8 years of meditation with great friends and people that I learned from, but I accomplished things faster with Richard, even from tapes, than I have accomplished up to that point from many other teachers I've had before.
Well, we know you're not afraid of women anymore because you have your lovely wife, Barbara.
Yes.
Who actually works with you at the Institute.
Yes, she runs everything, basically. She makes everything work. A lot of people ask me, what is it that my secret to be successful in an NLP Institute? And basically, it's not me. I mean, whatever I'm doing, it probably is a good job when I'm in front of a group, but it's not that what's making the things actually work. It is all the things that she's doing back at the Institute. And when I met her, she was engaged to marry someone else, and I just had to use some persuasion skills to let her know that she was getting married, not just married, but it was just the wrong guy she was marrying.
So NLP helped you out there too, huh?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I had to do everything. I called her up once. I said, do you want to go for lunch or dinner? And she said, I'm busy. I said, okay, we'll make it dinner. And I hung up. I mean, I was not going to be waiting for a no. Then so I called her up later again, and I said, so I'm calling you about dinner. Do you want me to pick you up, or should we meet at the restaurant? And she was just backpedaling, trying to get out of it, and she accepted to go to the restaurant. And
the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. I just told her, just give me 1 hour. If you don't want to see me ever again, you don't have to see me again. And when I hung up, I thought, well, if there's a time for this to work, it's going to be that hour, because I only have 1 hour. Of course, I talked the whole hour. I mean, I was not going to allow her to give me excuses or objections. I was just going to hypnotize her into loving me. But it's not only about that, because a lot of people ask me, well, so is she hypnotized 6 years after that? And it's not like that. It has to be something that it's done because of the right reasons, and it has to come from the heart. But still, I use the language. Some people say, wasn't that manipulation? I say, well, you could say something like that, but it's like, if you already know how to use language, why not use it to accomplish something that is really, really important for you?
Yeah. Well, you both are a fabulous team. Yep. Absolutely. What are some of the things that you do at the Institute? What types of courses?
Well, we do a lot of the practitioner, master practitioner programs. We also do once or sometimes twice a year a design human engineering program. And of course, the big thing we have every year is we have Richard visit us once a year for the past 5 years. And that's the big thing. We have I do it for one specific reason. It's I want more people to get the magic from him. I mean, it's not about the money. It's not about the reputation. All those things are nice, and all those things work. But it's not about that. It's about giving people the opportunity to learn from him, mm-hmm. to have the Bandler experience, to become Bandlerized, as I like to say. And that's it. And the other thing is we like inviting other great trainers, as John, as Eric Ravi, as we're trying to get you to do something next year with us as well. So we want to get people in Latin America to get the opportunity to have great trainers. And that's what we are doing there. We have a lot of work right now, fortunately, mm-hmm. and it's mostly into those kind of trainings. I don't like that much of the corporate work, although I do a little of that as well.
What are some of the countries that you've trained in?
I've trained in Ecuador, Colombia, Mexico, Spain, basically. And there's other countries that are looking to hire us. But one thing that I do have as a rule is I don't work for someone that hasn't seen me work before. Mm-hmm. So many people write or call, as you probably get hundreds a week. I just get them hundreds a year, but people that want to hire us, but they don't even know what we do. So to me, that's just, they are not doing it because they already are convinced of what we do, but because they have some weird, or maybe not that weird, but an expectation of what that would be, even if they haven't really know what we do. So.
Right. And you also offer products in Spanish?
Yes, we have, right now we have like 6 different products, audio products in Spanish. We're putting out a lot more this year. We have a videotape as well, and we have translated a few books into Spanish. Some of them were already translated, but we got Persuasion Engineering, the one that's the bestseller right now in Spanish. We have Time for a Change, we have NLP Volume 1, and a couple of books that I've done myself.
Right. What is this something that you really would like to add, if there was one thing you could add in the future to Neuroing? And
well, actually, one thing that I want to do, it's one of my, I have many dreams, and I've been accomplishing many of them. Some of them actually just get before I was expecting them for maybe 5 years along the way, and they just are right there, right then. But one thing that I would like to do, I want to start out something like a, it might sound funny, but kind of like a college or a university, and train people to do an NLP, but not only the PRAC, Master PRAC trainers program. I think that those programs that we all do are really great programs. However, I think most people get the wrong idea. They think just by attending maybe 7 or 10 or 12 days of a PRAC and then 10 or 12 days of a Master PRAC, they already have all the skills to work with people. And even though they might have more skills than other professions after a couple of days, that's, I still think a lot of people forget that it is about continuously learn many things. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much from you. I've learned so much from John, from Eric, from Richard, of course. And learn. And I've just ordered a few books on neurology, on chemistry, brain chemistry, and linguistics, and logic, and fuzzy logic, and all those things. And all those things would make someone be much more prepared to work with people, because I'm, in my opinion anyway, one of the reasons NLP sometimes is not approved out there is because there's so many people that just attended maybe 10 days and read a couple of books, and then they are offering themselves as the biggest experts in the world. Mm-hmm. And even though they can accomplish many things, it is not only about learning the set of skills for 10 days. So that's what I think anyway. So my dream is to open up something like that in the future.
Interesting. And you have continued to come back. You're here with us again in Orlando to help us out with the programs. And that's what's so special for the trainers that that come, because they just know that the learning never ends. There's always something else to learn. And Richard's continually, you know, developing new things, and John. So it's great to see you back here again. Is there a particular line or phrase that Richard has said, either in a book or a CD or in a seminar, that really hits home for you?
I think there are many, and as we've been talking, I've been remembering many of them. But I think one that was very personal was one time that I was talking with him after a program we did together, and I said, of course I know I'll never be as good as you. And he just looked me straight in the eye and said, like, because you're not supposed to be as good as me. You're supposed to be as good and even better just by being yourself and doing the best, Gabriel, you can do. It's not about becoming someone else. And I think that's very important for me, because so many people out in NLP, even they think about all this modeling. Oh, I just want to become Tony. I just want to become blah, 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 blah. I want to become this or that. And okay, a lot of people have accomplished many things, but it is not about becoming someone else. To me, that presupposes you don't like being yourself. So that's one of the things that I liked. When he said that to me, it made total sense. It's, I'm not to become anyone. And this goes all the way back to my first training in 98, when I called back to a partner I had at the time, a business partner, and he said, so are you liking the program? Is it what you expected? And I said, no. He said, no, are you not liking it? I said, no, it's not what I expected. I mean, I was running away from all these shamans and people that I thought, okay, I've got enough of that. I'm going to be the scientist. And yes, I went to a scientist, but much, much more than that. But anyway, when he was asking me all these questions, he said, when I got back of the program, he said, so now do you want to become Richard Bandler? Because back before that, he was just trying to become Tony Robbins, or wanting to become one or the other. And as I got back, even from my first experience, I said, no, I would never want to be Richard Bandler. I would like to learn as much as I can from him, but I don't want to be him. And to me, that's one of the biggest things that switched in my mind. I've always wanted to be someone else. When I played tennis, I wanted to be Stefan Edberg. I wanted to be John McEnroe. I wanted to be even tennis players in Mexico. I wanted to be them. I've got the same rackets. I got the same outfit. I just wanted to be someone else that was not me. And one of the, so to me, the most personal thing that I've, the phrase that is more important to me is, it's not about becoming someone else. It is about being the best Gabriel I can be.
That's great. So for our Spanish-speaking listeners, maybe you'd like to send them a little message here for those that might be listening on the internet.
Well, before I even do that, I just would like to say very briefly that it is in Spanish-speaking countries, it happens a lot, but it probably happens all over the place. It's just to learning is not about just repeating as parrots what other people said. In Spanish, there's so many people that have bought certain ideas and they think it's just the law, and they haven't even stopped to think about it. And it's basically, in Spanish, they say, no digas la palabra no. It's basically don't say no, but don't use the word no. But they are using the word to say that not to use it. And then they explain that it's because the brain doesn't process the word no. But they are not even thinking, well, so every time we say novice, are we only saying processing this? Because it is just the sound, or what is it that the brain doesn't register? So my message to everyone, and in even the Spanish-speaking audience, is just to basically think things through, not just to accept anything, not coming from me, not coming from Richard, not coming from anyone. It's just so many people are like to be following someone else, and they are not thinking about it. So to me, there's so many other options out there that are also great options. It's just about thinking things through, and it will make or not sense. So in Latin America, there's many people training right now, and you've seen the people like the guys that I know, Omar and Javier and Edgar, and there's Jose Torres, and there's Rocio Alexandra, people in Ecuador, Colombia, Mexico. There's going to be a lot more options out there. It's just about making the right questions so that they find the right trainer for them.
Thank you very much, Gabriel.
Thank you.
Please send our appreciation to Barbara as well.
Sure, I will.
And we'd like to wish you all the best of luck in all your future dreams for neuroing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, this is Kathleen Lavelle signing off, and stay tuned for more trainers from around the world.